This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast, where we dive into the latest rumors and news surrounding Texas Rangers baseball.
I do think that it might not be the right time to be trading Leiter. The team hasn't given up on him. He has the tools to end up being a solid MLB starter someday. But if a deal came along that would give the Rangers a top of the rotation starter that has two or more years of team control, maybe Chris Young does add Leiter to the trade package to get the trade across the finish line. I absolutely love prospects, but I love winning at the big league level more. So if moving a former top prospect will help the team in Arlington win more games over the next couple of years, and give them a better chance at a serious playoff run, I'm all for it. To trade or not to trade, that is the question. I would lean on the side of not trading right now, because it feels like a buy high, sell low deal. But again, if Chris Young can work his negotiating skills and get another team to put enough value on Leiter's upside with a new delivery and not his current body of work, then by all means, make the trade. Before we dive into today's episode, I'd like to remind you, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X. Just search the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. Of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our videos. And of course, subscribe to that channel and hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. So without further ado, let's dive into today's first topic, which is, should the Texas Rangers include Jack Leiter in a trade for a top MLB starter? The Rangers are looking to add at least one quality starter either via trade or free agency this offseason. It could happen as early as this week, as the MLB winter meetings are underway. GM Chris Young has made it clear that the Rangers would like to acquire at least one more solid starting pitcher to add to the rotation. However, what isn't clear is if the Rangers will be signing said pitcher via free agency or working a trade to get a hurler with more than 1 year of team control. Signing free agents costs more money, while a trade route costs some combination of dollars and prospects. Fortunately, the Rangers have both. One idea that's been floating around, first from Evan Grant at Dallas Morning News, and then from MLB trade rumors, is possibly including Jack Leiter in a potential trade for a controllable starter. This is an idea that less than a year ago would have been torn down by fans and the front office alike. Leiter was selected second overall in the 2021 MLB draft. Those types of selections are not moved on from lightly. That is why even having this discussion is a bit jarring for some. The reality is, I would be surprised if Leiter is traded for one reason and one reason only. His stock is near an all-time low. He would no longer be the centerpiece of a trade. Unless it is a sweet, sweet deal for the Rangers, Chris Young isn't just going to throw Leiter in for giggles. Jack Leiter's new mechanics give Texas Rangers hope for his future. Leiter was shut down in the middle of the last season and revamped his mechanics in a pretty drastic way. The reason for the overhaul is that his control had been his number one issue since turning pro. You can see the difference in delivery before and after his mechanical rebuild. I do think that it might not be the right time to be trading Leiter. The team hasn't given up on him, and he has the tools to end up being a solid starter someday. But if a deal came along that would give the Rangers a top of the rotation starter that has two or more years of team control, maybe Chris Young does add Leiter to the trade package to get the trade across the finish line. I absolutely love prospects, but I love winning at the big league level more. So if moving a former top prospect will help the team in Arlington win more games over the next couple of years and give them a better chance at a serious playoff run, I'm all for it. To trade or not to trade, that is the question. I would lean on the side of not trading right now, because it feels like a buy high, sell low deal. Again, if Chris Young can work his negotiating skills and get another team to put enough value in Leiter's upside with the new delivery and not his current body of work, then I'll by all means, make the trade. Let us know your thoughts. Should Jack Leiter be traded? And if so, would you trade him? Let us know. And now on to our next topic. 3 reasons behind the Texas Rangers' slow news offseason amid the winter meetings. Texas Rangers, the last 2 offseasons have been more like the Fast and Furious movies. They struck fast, got out, and left the rest of the baseball world to clean up the mess they caused. It all culminated in a World Series championship a little over 1 month ago. This offseason has yet to get started. Texas has yet to sign a player who was not already on the roster in 2023. They have not pulled off a trade for anyone. Their offseason has been less Fast and Furious and more Lost in Translation. The Texas front office arrives in Nashville this week for the winter meetings, and hopefully they begin to tell a different story this offseason. The winter meetings is the annual gathering of front office executives, coaches, and media. There is a job fair component as well as several meetings that take place concerning the health and well-being of the sport. Over these 4 days, the Hall of Fame Contemporary Era Committee will be announcing the result of their vote, the draft lottery will be taking place, and the Rule 5 draft will be done on Wednesday before everyone starts leaving Nashville. In between these official meetings, there will be free agent deals signed and trades will be made. Texas fans have been wondering if this is where we see Texas start to make moves. They do have areas of need that Wes Jones wrote about this past weekend. They are World Series champions. But are they content with that, or do they want to improve upon that with another title? I would figure the goal for 2024 is to win the AL West division and dethrone the Astros once and for all. So what is holding them back? Well, I think there are 3 reasons why Texas is being so slow to move this offseason. Texas is uncertain about the status of their Bally Sports contract, not wanting to be a 2-time luxury taxpayer, and they do not see a need to sign a high-dollar free agent. So, of course, the Bally Sports bankruptcy is causing issues for the Rangers. We discussed this in a previous episode, but I want to emphasize it again. The fact that Bally Sports may drop the Rangers is no doubt reshaping how the Rangers are attacking this offseason. Texas gets $111 million annually from Bally Sports. If Bally Sports dropped Texas because they can't afford to pay that, then it drops to zero. They would have to negotiate a media rights deal over the next 3 months or be broadcast by MLB and paid by MLB a lower amount than what Bally would have paid them. Chris Young had a call with the media last week to preview the upcoming winter meetings, and he acknowledged the difficulties that not knowing about the media rights was having, saying, quote, "There's an impact on the organization. There's uncertainty about what the right fees are and will be going forward. We obviously have a responsibility to be financially prudent. This could end up being a win in the long run, but right now it is impacting what Texas can do this offseason." They already have been reported as being out on Shohei Ohtani. They want to bring back Jordan Montgomery, but the cost might be too much for Texas. If they cannot afford Montgomery, then it stands to reason they would likely be out on Josh Hader as well. Texas will be on TV in some fashion in 2024. Fans don't need to worry about that. The uncertainty about who will be broadcasting them will likely stop them from being able to properly fill the holes on this roster. Texas will likely be playing with those guys who have something to prove and will be willing to sign for less. It'll be guys like Frankie Montes and Michael Wacha in the rotation. It will be players like Andrew Chafin in the bullpen. And of course, they would become luxury taxpayers for a second season. Texas is luxury taxpayers for the 2023 season. Ray Davis will happily write that check to Major League Baseball if it resulted in a World Series championship. The penalties increased a 30% tax for a team over the luxury tax for a second season. Everything is back at 0-0 heading into 2024. I'm sure the message has come down from ownership to try and get under the tax heading into the season. Texas cannot go past $237 million in team payroll if they are to stay away from becoming 2-time luxury tax payers. Excuse me. Texas cannot go past $237 million in team payroll if they are to stay away from becoming 2-time luxury taxpayers. Fangraphs has Texas already at around $220 million in payroll for the upcoming season. They likely have around $15 million to sign free agents this offseason. It will take some creativity by Chris Young to be able to spread that money around, still fill the holes on the roster. Texas will likely still pursue free agents, but also be active in the trade market. I expect Chris Young to explore every avenue this week before they head back home to improve this roster. Texas is trying to do something that no team has done since 2000, and that is repeat as World Series champion. He's doing that while also trying to stay under the luxury tax. And then, of course, there's no need to sign a high-priced free agent. Texas could be competitive for the best free agents. Most, I'm sure, would love to come and play for the team that just won the World Series. Lots of players make their offseason home in Texas. The lack of a state income tax also makes playing in the state very attractive. Chris Young looks at this roster of returning players and likely does not see a need to add major pieces to the team. The starting lineup for 2024 could potentially see everyone except Mitch Garver return. Texas did not do anything. Sam Huff would likely be starting in the DH role. Evan Carter would be your opening day left fielder. And I'm sure at some point in 2024, Wyatt Langford would make his debut for Texas. Texas has the ability to stay content in the lineup and not commit more resources there. The rotation does have five starters heading into spring training: Nathan Eovaldi, Max Scherzer, John Gray, Andrew Haney, and Dane Dunning. They will have Cody Bradford as a depth piece, with Owen White and Jack Leiter waiting in the wings at AAA Round Rock. Texas, I'm sure, would like to add more depth. Just because Texas will enter spring training with five starting pitchers does not mean they will make it to opening day with five starting pitchers. Chris Young always says that a team can never have too much pitching. The bullpen needs more depth. If they did nothing, it would still be a good bullpen. Jose Leclerc is the closer. Josh Boer's setup. Jonathan Hernandez in the seventh. Bradford in long relief. Brett Martin and Brock Burke as your left-handed options. Gray Anderson in middle relief. Then they could probably call up someone like Antoine Kelly or Mark Church to give them some depth. There are always non-roster options that are brought to camp that could win the jobs as well. Chris Young sees all that has been built the last 3 to 4 seasons and is not content with what Texas has. There is also not a sense of desperation to add pieces to the roster. Texas will have conversations with the free agents. They will most likely not participate in bidding wars that go beyond what they are comfortable spending. That is what happens when a team wins a World Series and returns nearly everybody from that roster. The pressure to win is not nearly as high as it was before. Just remember this time last year, Texas was trying to build a roster that could have a winning record and end the 6-season stretch of losing seasons. Now Texas is trying to build a roster that can repeat as World Series champions. A bar has been raised and a new standard has been established. Texas is not just looking to sign players, they are looking to sign the right kind of players. Players that can add to the clubhouse culture of winning. Texas may not have as much money as before due to the quality sports situation, and they may be constrained by the luxury tax, but they will put together a reputable team that will have the ability to repeat as champions. And now on to our next topics. Three positions we need at the Texas Rangers heading into MLB winter meetings. After claiming the Commissioner's Trophy for the first time in franchise history, Texas Rangers will be looking to bolster their roster this offseason. With the MLB winter meetings underway, there are several directions that the team can attack their roster needs. Repeating as champions is hard to do. Chris Young's game plan will be to first get back into the playoffs and then hopefully have another historic postseason run. The 2023 roster was stellar, and yet injuries and underperformance at times cost the Rangers several wins within the regular season. Baseball is made up of offense, defense, and pitching. Perhaps the most important in those areas is pitching. But without the other two, pitching alone can only get you so far. The majority of the position players will be back for the 2024 campaign. There are some places that can be improved upon as well. Rotation-wise, there are enough guys on the current roster to fill out a starting rotation. But there needs to be depth added and quality at the top end. The elephant in the room for the Rangers is their bullpen. And it'll be interesting how Young decides to tackle that part of the pitching staff. One thing is for sure, this shouldn't have to be an offseason of full rebuild mode. The Rangers will be returning all 8 of the guys that ended the postseason as the everyday position players. That group is a strong one that includes an infield of Jonah Heim, Nathaniel Lowe, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Josh Young. Barring a trade, the outfield would consist of Evan Carter, Leody Taveras, and Adolis Garcia. Starting pitchers returning include Nathan Eovaldi, Max Scherzer, John Gray, Dane Dunning, and Andrew Haney. not to mention Cody Bradford or any potential breakout minor leaguers. The bullpen will consist of postseason heroes Jose Leclerc and Josh Boris. That is a ton of great players that not only played well together, but also showed that they can deliver the biggest of stages. Chris Young has shown that he likes to maintain a solid group of quality individuals that help make up a great team. So what specific areas will the Rangers be targeting as the winter meetings get underway? We're going to take a look. Should the Rangers bring back Mitch Garver? One option would be to bring Garver back and slot him into the spot. He loves playing in Texas and has expressed interest in coming back. While that is an option, I am not sure that is what the Rangers will choose to do. Health concerns have been an issue with Garver his entire time with the organization, and those aren't going to go away. Now, if they decide not to keep him unless an emergency situation and instead carry Heim in a different backup catcher, then the health risk would go down dramatically. Garver will be 33 years old in January, and it is unlikely that he's ready to put the catching gear up for good at this point. There just happens to be a guy by the name of Shohei Ohtani that would slap perfectly into the DH role for the Rangers in 2024 and give them another starting pitcher beginning in 2025 when his arm rehab is completed. Much internal and external debate on the cost versus gain of the potential signing has been going on for quite some time and will continue until Ohtani selects his team, either the Rangers or someplace else. According to Jeff Passan, the Rangers are now out on Ohtani, but I would say that both Ohtani and Chris Young tend to do their negotiating on the down low, so stay tuned. This position of need could be filled with the greatest player on the planet, or just another power bat that is past their prime in the field. Either way the team decides to go, DH will be a point of emphasis for the Rangers. Texas Rangers need to add arms to the bullpen as the meetings undergo. The bullpen will have some new arms added to it, but it will be the expensive left arm, Josh Hader. It has been assumed that since the Rangers have a need at the bullpen, Hader is the best available arm out there, that the team will automatically go get him. That is a real possibility. But there are other teams in search of a lockdown closer, thus making price tag pretty hefty. Historically, it hasn't been a great idea to play a closer over the top prices because it can limit the amount of money available for other relievers. And like we discussed with the uncertainty with the TV money since Bali is ending his contract early, it is unclear how much money over the next few years the Rangers will have at their disposal. Although we aren't sure what the names will be, it is a near lock that the Rangers will have some new faces in the bullpen for next season. And as the MLB winter meetings are underway, some of those names might be known sooner than later. And now on to the biggest needs for the Texas Rangers. Starters are going off the board, so the Texas Rangers need one soon. The injury bug hit the Rangers rotation in a huge way last year. But they weren't the only team to have top starters miss extended periods of time. With the all-out approach that pitchers are asked to have these days, injuries are going to happen. It's just a matter of when and how bad. Two of the top free agent starters are already off the board, Aaron Nola and Sonny Gray. Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell are still available, along with several other lower-tier starters. There is also the possibility of acquiring a starter via a trade. Young is not only a high-intelligent baseball person that sees the current state of the starting pitcher, but is a former MLB starter himself. He focused on the rotation last offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if he adds some key pieces to it again this year. By having a deep rotation, the Rangers will be able to help their bullpen by not having to overuse them. It will also give Bruce Bochy the ability to keep not only some long relief guys in the pen, but arms that can be quality starters in a pinch, or the long term if needed be. As we mentioned earlier, this isn't going to be a revamped year for the Rangers. There's a solid base of players already in place, but with a few of the right additions at DH, the bullpen, and rotation, 2024 has the potential to be yet another fun summer in Arlington. And now on to our next topic. But before we do that, let us know if we've missed anything, got anything wrong, anything you disagree with, let us know in the comments section below. And now, should the Texas Rangers consider trading Leody Taveras or Ezekiel Duran? Before we make our case on this topic, let us know in the comments section below. Should they? And if so, for who? Leody Taveras and Ezekiel Duran both showed flashes of how great they can be last season. Taveras started to come into his own as a hit. His speed and fielding ability had been on display since he debuted in the majors, but his impact at the plate had been lacking. He hit .267 last year with a respectable .733 OPS and added 14 homers and 67 RBIs from the bottom of the lineup. He also showed the ability to step up and make big plays in big moments. Tavares' home run off of Justin Verlander in Game 1 of the LCS, or his home run robbery of Jordan Alvarez in Game 3 of the same series, both come to mind. Duran showed some pop at the plate and was a very versatile defender who could play nearly any position in infield or outfield. He got his chance as an everyday guy when Corey Seager was injured. That's when he filled in at shortstop, his primary position, on a nearly daily basis. After Seager returned, he moved all around the field. He played some third base when Josh Jung went down with injury and rotated in some left field to give the outfielders some rest from time to time. He also hit .276 with a solid .768 OPS, adding 14 homers of his own. They are also both prime trade pieces for an established player. Aside from the potential and production they have both shown, they are both controllable and cheap for the foreseeable future. Leody doesn't become an unrestricted free agent until 2028, and Durant isn't even eligible for arbitration until 2026. It's also worth noting that Durant is likely boxed out of being a starter for the Rangers anytime soon, and the outfield will soon be crowded for Tavares with the quick ascension of Wyatt Langford. The trade also seems that it's like it may be more in the realm of possibility than at the start of free agency. Like we mentioned, the Rangers have been reported to be out of the Ohtani sweepstakes, and Chris Young seems to indicate the team wasn't necessarily looking to spend big this year. All that being said, I think they should both be available for trade, but not just anyone. Their talent, production, years of control are valuable assets for the Rangers. They should treat them as such. Tavares or Duran should only be available for a frontline starting pitcher. I think the Rangers trading either one for anything less, that would be an overpay. And now on to our next topic. Is it too soon for the Rangers to talk an extension with Evan Carter? The big baseball news was not a free agent that was signed. It was not a trade that was made. It was news of an expected extension signed by a player who has yet to play a single major league game. The Brewers are closing in on signing top prospect Jackson Chourio, apologies for butchering his name, to an 8-year extension with 2 options years tacked on at the end. The base of the contract is believed to be 8 years and $80 million. This is all for a 19-year-old center fielder who has not made his major league debut. The Brewers are being proactive and buying out his pre-arbitration years, his arbitration years, and then potentially 4 years of his free agency. They are making sure that their top prospect will be paid, happy, and stay in a Brewers uniform for much of the prime of his career. Texas could entertain ideas of doing the same with Evan Carter. The major difference is that Carter already made his debut, came up in September, and provided the spark Texas needed at the time. That continued throughout September and into the playoff run to the World Series. Texas could stand by and wait to see what their financial situation will be going forward. They could choose to act. It's a topic that warrants examining both sides of the argument and discussing what Texas is likely to end up doing concerning Evan Carter. Why should Texas sign Evan Carter to an extension? Evan Carter was an unheralded second-round pick back in 2020. He was so unknown that the pick was somewhat ridiculed by the MLB Network crew covering the draft that night. From the moment he stepped onto the field in 2021, Carter has answered every question fans and experts had about him. He has been everything Texas could have hoped for when they drafted him. Carter showed he can be a five-tool player at the major league level. All 5 tools were on display during his brief time in the majors in September and October. Carter had a .306 batting average in regular season and a .300 batting average in postseason play. Carter hit 6 home runs with 9 doubles during the postseason. Carter also had 6 stolen bases combined between regular and postseason play. He made several great plays out left field and center field, and he did all this at age 21, and in the heat of a pennant race and in the postseason. Texas can show an appreciation and a long-term commitment to Evan Carter. The team is now led by Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. The next generation of the Rangers will likely be led by Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, Jack Leiter, Mar Rocker, and others. Texas would be sending the message to Carter that they are building this team's future around him. It would also indicate to younger players that if they play well, the team will reward them. The last but also best reason to extend Carter is to give the team the financial certainty with one of their best players. Texas can lay out what they will pay Carter yearly and then budget the rest of the team around that. Texas can avoid the often unpredictable arbitration process. Texas would have Carter locked down and know that he would play their left field or center field for the long term. But perhaps maybe Texas should wait on signing. Evan Carter is still just 21, appears to have a solid major league career in front of him, but he also had some health issues in the past. Texas is dealing with financial issues that have arisen from the potential loss of their Bally Sports contract. They need to be focused on using the financial resources they do have to improve their major league roster. They can sign Carter down the road when the financial situation is more stable. They also do not know how good Carter is. 40 games in is a small sample size when trying to decide. I'm not saying to throw out what Carter did in 2023. He was a rookie, and the scouting reports on him were likely rather thin. The true test will be in the 2024 season when teams have a better idea of his strengths and weaknesses. He will have to find a way to navigate a 162-game schedule. Texas will have a much better idea of how good Carter is for the 2024 season than they do now. I don't think he's a flash in the pan. There's also an urgent need to extend him now. He will still have 5 years of control after the 2024 season. By next offseason, they can look to possibly extend Carter and Langford and develop a nucleus of the team for 2027 and beyond. So what will Texas end up doing in regards to Evan Carter? I do not think it is too early to talk extension with Carter. He showed the makings of a future all-star tag player, young enough that he will still be developing into a better, more mature player for the next several years. I also think that the Rangers have other needs they need to focus on first. Like we've discussed previously in our other segments, Texas needs to add to the bullpen desperately. They likely need 2 to 3 bullpen arms to add to the depth of the pen. Jose Leclerc and Josh Spores need legit arms that can help them from being overused in the 2024 season. Chris Young will also be looking to add starting pitching. That could include bringing back Jordan Montgomery, and could also bring back Martin Perez or adding someone like Michael Wacha. Texas showed in 2023 that a team can never have too much pitching. Texas would likely address any potential Carter extension in spring training. They will have made all of their big offseason acquisitions by then, and have a firm grasp on what their payroll will be for 2024. They can then sit down and talk numbers with Carter and his representation and see if they're interested in talking extension. No matter what happens, Carter will be here with Texas for at least 6 more seasons. He's going to grow up here and be part of this organization for a long time. Extension or no extension, he's part of the future for Texas. The only thing signing that contract would indicate is they value him long term and want him to help form the core of the next generation of Texas Rangers baseball. Let us know your thoughts on the topics we've covered today in the comment section below. And as always, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TTRangers. As always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, GameTime and TubeBuddy. You can check them out today in the links in the description. And as always, give us a thumbs up if you like a video, subscribe to that channel, hit that bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And as always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
This has been the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. Let us know your thoughts on the topics we covered by tweeting us at Talkin' TX Rangers or liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/Talkin' Texas Rangers. As always, thank you for listening, and go Rangers!